Welcome back to Right Side. I'm Amy Beth Shaver with Allison Sinclair and JP. And JP, take it away.
What? Are you talking about I have to tell the people about Stan McDonald?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Stan McDonald, who is the sponsor of JP's Monster Miraculous Montage every single day. Attorney Stan McDonald at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee out of Huntsville. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law. And like we always say, when Stan McDonald is on your side, you'll have no greater friend, and likewise, your adversaries will have no greater foe. He advocates and will fight for your legal needs and rights, but he's also been an absolute warrior for causes near and dear to our Right Side Refing community. Attorney Stan McDonald has represented his clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions over the years, and at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee out of Huntsville, here's his phone number, 256-533-0202. That's Stan McDonald, 256-533-0202. And tell me you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And no representation is made that the quality of legal services. I have to start over.
You're pulling an Allison.
We have to read this disclaimer again, apparently. So
sequitur.
And we're not gonna do it as fast as possible like Phil, so I'm just gonna read it as slow as possible. No representation is made that the quality of the legal services is to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers. And now, stand by for news.
Stand by for news.
I think what people are missing here a bit with the Democrats is that all of their palling around with Jeffrey Epstein was after he was convicted of being a pedo. This is going to be bad for the Democrats.
Yeah. Today, we are announcing that we have stopped all grant funding that's being abused by NGOs to facilitate illegal immigration into this country. So it's amazing to me the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been spent by the federal government that has been sent to NGOs to facilitate this invasion of our country.
Susie Wells, they're going to share her father, Pat Summerall, most powerful woman in the world. She can take out a country, destroy, take out a country with one phone call. That's power.
Well, we all need to be engaged to protect religious freedom and to love our neighbors. Because if we have the capacity to protect innocent people from evil by putting good laws in place that do protect them from evil, and we don't take that opportunity, how are we loving our neighbors? We're not. If we don't get involved, godless people will get involved. And then we'll have laws like they have in California now. Have you heard about the Bill 495? Anybody in California can walk into a school without identification and check a kid out. Yo, you haven't heard this because you're not paying attention.
And they are able to radicalize and target and exploit a generation of young boys, in particular, away from healthy masculinity and into an insecure masculinity that requires the domination of others who are poorer, browner, darker, or a different gender than them.
So let's, in the case of Nick Fuentes, focus not on Nick Fuentes, but on the people who watch Nick Fuentes. What kind of world have they grown up in? They've grown up in, over the last 10 years, a world that hates them, and not in a subtle way. They've grown up in a country that has systematically, in law, excluded them from the workplace, education, from federal grants, and has told them again and again and again, no, we're not discriminating against you, and yes, you deserve it.
It's a white man's problem.
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men.
There has been no oppression for the white man in this country.
They've been mocked and attacked and lectured and harangued and screamed at. It's a little hard to tell people that racism is wrong when you're committing it.
Dang, Daniel. That was strong.
Jam-packed montage.
Gotta.
Wow.
Is everybody else out there like, dude? Okay. Let's dive in. Because we've talked about the Epstein and the Democrat. I'm still shaken up from Frank Turek on down. I'm completely shaken up by this. But can we not agree that, oh, what a surprise the Epstein situation is going to backfire on Democrats? And, oh, what a surprise they were palling around after he was convicted?
I think it's kind of like Bill Clinton. You think you are above the law. You think you are impenetrable. You'll never be caught. You can do all the things, because historically they have gotten away with a lot. I mean, have y'all, Like the things that go on in our Capitol that are known. Y'all remember the video from a few years ago of the guy in the committee room?
I do.
When you said the video, I knew exactly you knew. What you were talking
about. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that is not uncommon. He just happened to get caught. They're like, they're technically, anyway, they're not cages, but they're like places people go to do things. Okay. It is disgusting. And it's almost like everybody just covers for everybody all the time on the cocaine and the, well, we won't go there, but just use your imagination. It's as bad as you think it is. So the fact that this might come crashing down, I just don't think ever crossed their minds. They've always been covered for by their own or by the other party, because then you start extorting, wait, you want Plaskett? Okay, well, we'll go after Corey Mills. Okay, well, we'll just give both of them a pass for being total degenerates.
Yeah.
Degenerates.
I like that word.
It's disgusting.
Yeah,
it's gross.
It's one of those things where the uniparty will be affected, both sides of the... Because, I mean, I've been critical of how the Republican Party has handled the Epstein debacle, A, because it was such a self-inflicted wound, B, it's my side, I guess, so I'm a bit more, you know, critical if something that I think should be done in a way different way and shouldn't have been the debacle that it was. However, the Democrats, it's almost like the Democrats are in such a lame duck position across all branches. They're just kind of an afterthought. So when you look and how they've been going, Epstein, 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 it's like, you guys, you know, you're barking up the wrong tree, because a lot of you, I bet a lot more Democrats than Republicans are going to be affected by the Epstein situation than so it's, you know, however, you know, Trump and the Republicans, I think, should have handled it differently. It's like, the Democrats, you guys have no authority to be, you know, lecturing Republicans. I think it's going to backfire on them because they just want to get Trump, get Trump, get Trump. It's like, how many of y'all are going to be implicated in all of this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Jasmine Crockett even tried to talk about it, and she was trying to make some kind of comparison. And I thought, okay, or the people out there who said over the weekend when the Epstein files were, you know, thought to come out, we've been marked safe. Kamala Harris has been marked safe from being on the Epstein list or whatever.
Are you sure about that?
Not only are you sure about that, but she started somewhere different. His name is Willie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So how about everybody needs to take a long, hard look at themselves? It is a uniparty situation. They are all degenerates until proven otherwise. And we know who the good guys are and the gentle ladies who maybe started somewhere different and have ended up here. But holy cow, this is going to backfire. And now we're going to see, probably for the next week, backpedaling like we can't believe. But I still wonder what is going to happen to anybody who's found out about this. I mean, is it just going to be business as usual?
Most of the time, nothing happens. I mean, it just doesn't. We have hearings. We have committee meetings. We have investigations. Mm-hmm. We have all these things, and then nothing happens. It's just a bunch of bleh. So I'm not very expectant of it. However, I do wonder what y'all think about. Because if you noticed, Elon was back in the White House the other day. And that made me think, like, did Trump and Elon choreograph this whole thing? Was this the plan all along, to force the Dems to demand? Now he has them all on record voting for this, taking down his people. They think they're going to take him down. And I'm sure, like you said, there will be some Republicans on there. But now he has all, you know, the infighting that could come out of the Democrat side could be tremendous. And so I just wonder, I don't know, thinking, was this a master plan? Did they play that out? Or is that just coincidence?
Oh, that's a good one.
Because they all got in a fight. And then remember, Elon's big lob to Trump was he's in the Epstein files.
Oh, yes, I remember.
I don't know. I think the Elon-Trump thing was just two men with very large egos. And I think Elon was very pissed off about, I think Elon was being sabotaged with Doge, and I think it really made him angry. And I think Elon's a guy that just kind of lashes out. There's also accusations that Elon, you know, is on stuff like ketamine or whatever, so that probably didn't help. I think that was more of just two men being very proud and arguing, and I think it was kind of more of a coincidence. And then also, like what John Wall said, if they were actually face-to-face and not doing it over Twitter, it may have not spiraled to where it was. But I think it was more of a coincidence personally.
Okay. I can go with the coincidence angle. However, we have to throw this little Trump is generally ahead of everybody else. I mean, going way back to my offices are bugged.
Yeah, like your office is 5D chess.
You're so dumb. And it turns out it was true. So when he says these things, he is such a whiz. He is a never split the difference guy. Okay, so I think maybe the Trump-Elon thing was real, but I also think it can also happen that Trump knew what he was doing all along with Epstein.
Along those lines, and do we have to take a break?
We got about like 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay, I just want to know, what is he, following that vein, what is he trying to tell us by saying this about Susie Wiles too? Is he trying to say it's not my fault? I'm under her spell, and she used to be on Netanyahu's re-election campaign or something.
I think that was a Freudian slip. Is that how you say it? Freudian slip.
Freudian slip.
I think that's what that was. Something, you know, Trump was probably something Trump would say to Susie behind closed doors, and maybe he was saying that he was comfortable and let it slip. Because I think Susie does have a lot of power within the administration, and we've talked constantly about the reports, but when Trump says stuff like that, it's like, oh, okay, they're not just reports.
I don't know. I think that was I don't think he does anything that he hasn't thought about. For as impulsive as he is, there are certain parts of his personality that seem to be very intentional. Mm-hmm. And one of those would be letting people know, Susie, don't mess with Susie. Everybody, you think she's in the background just kind of quietly arranging and doing the things? Well, that's probably the person you need to watch most carefully.
That's funny, because I took it the opposite way. Where you kind of took it as like him defending Susie, like watch out, sending a message. I took it more as Susie pulls my strings.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. No,
blame
I agree with you.
Blame Susie, not me.
Yeah, no, I think he's just saying, here she is. You know, don't mess with Susie. But I also agree, he's probably telling us, like, she's doing this, you guys.
It also made me wonder, who's the Alabama Susie?
That'd be a fun segment.
Oh.
Maybe we'll do it off the air.
Make a lot of enemies.
I'm curious.
I think we could.
Well, I did start thinking about that. I think an Alabama Susie is a group.
Yeah.
Susie is plural. But there's a Susie.
Oh, yes, there's a Susie.
And we are not part of Susie.
No, we should probably talk about this off the air. This is fascinating.
This is where we used to get in trouble at the old show. They'd be like, yes. Why don't y'all tell us what you talk about during the break? We're like, because
we would never come back.
Our tires would be slashed. And that we used to say our dogs would be killed, but that's too soon.
Sorry. Allison.
I'm sorry. It is. We have. Okay.
Is that your grieving tactic? Making
that is,
jokes.
Yeah. It actually,
that's mine too. Yeah.
Actually, somebody told me once that is a very healthy response to grief is humor.
Yeah.
So we're just going to go with it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, while we talk about who Susie is, Alabama Susie.
Welcome back to Right Side. I'm Amy Beth Shaver with Allison Sinclair. We've made a very good decision, JP. And just wait.
I love how Allison stopped talking as I lifted my
It scares me when that hand goes up, you start to point, and then sometimes you get aggressive, and then sometimes you slap the table.
Like, we're live.
It has like to that. Focus.
All right. So because we don't have a lot of time in the 3 o'clock hour, we will at least get started on the NGOs, which is just a whole nother thing in and of itself, but I digress. We have great comments from y'all.
Shoot.
JP, do you want to start on your end?
Yeah, we got a good comment over here on the X live stream from Bruce. says it's absolutely disgusting that Democrats will probably get away with this and no one will be removed from the House or the Senate being part of the Epstein files.
It's true. I think that's what we all feel. Like, you know, yay, okay, information's coming out. But really, what is going to change? On both sides.
Yeah.
I would suggest to you, both sides are going to be very guilty. Because as Allison has described, the Capitol is a den of iniquity. Okay.
I love how Tim Burchett, he said, people call it a swamp, but a swamp is a cool creation of God. This place is a sewer.
It's better. True. It's a sewer. Man, it's a sludgy, slimy sewer.
It's got like rats.
Yeah. And things.
And mold. Hey, I have a point of order.
Yes, ma'am.
We need a gavel.
Oh, we do. Okay.
It is not gentle lady, woman.
Apparently.
It's just lady. Brad from Limestone County.
Brad.
Would like you to know that.
Thanks, Brad.
He said, I couldn't believe it when I heard the word which shall not no longer be uttered come from the mouth of Henry Hyde. Henry Hyde?
Yes.
Clear back in the 90s. Oh, that was your microphone. It sounded like somebody's stomach. No. I was like, what's that?
No, listen. Did you not hear from Anna Paulina Luna when she was on the floor? And they said the gentle lady or gentle woman. So, Brad, like, I hear you. I love words. But I'm sorry that this gives you the heebs that I used a word from the 90s.
He said the counterpart to gentleman is just lady. Hmm. Which... sounds
okay. Thank you.
So boring.
I know. I
wanna... He's also implying that all ladies are gentle, and that's not true.
Hmm.
Brad also told us yesterday, and we missed it. This is pretty good. And I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a good story. Fun fact, the toothbrush was invented in Ardmore. Had it been invented anywhere else, they would have called it the teeth brush.
That's good. It's real that's good.
Funny.
That's very funny. I didn't know that.
Cameron says there's a Susie Wiles indicator, but I'm not going to say who he said it was, just to protect Cameron's tires.
That's right. Thank you. Awesome. That's good thinking. It's really good thinking on your part. Yeah, it's
nice
really good.
Of me.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
I'm a gentle lady.
So as we put a period on the Epstein conversation for now, final thoughts, like just a quick, what do you think from here?
Sorry. Paul makes a good point.
What?
He said it's ladies and gentlemen, not ladies, not gentlemen and gentle ladies. He says not ladies and gentle ladies. Does that make sense? We say ladies and gentlemen. We don't say... gentle ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
But that clip from the floor, he did say the gentle.
He did.
Yeah. So maybe maybe it's just for congresswomen.
Look, be patient with me. I am from the 1900s.
I thought he said 1990s.
I know, which is the 1900s.
Oh. All right. I'm going to get some caffeine. Top of the hour. Maybe some chocolate. You're listening to Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Right Side. Happy Thursday. 1 week from today is Thanksgiving. I'm Amy Beth Shaver with the Allison Sinclair and the JP. And you probably know by now, especially Allison, how much we love words. We love words a lot. And we used to have a segment that was an occasional called Fun with Words. And I was going to wait until tomorrow to debut it. And I will wait for Allison's word tomorrow. But for today, the word of the day is, we were right. And do you know how? Allison, would you like to share?
Yeah, Allie from Athens, coming through strong. Okay, according to the Googles, the AI Googles, she says, it is proper in the United States House of Representatives to say, the gentlewoman from Alaska. The citation goes on to say, this form of address is a matter of longstanding congressional custom and decorum used during floor debates and committee hearings to refer to a female representative from a specific state without using her name directly. They use the gentleman from in the same way. I guess you could be like, Hey, lady from Alaska.
Yes, up.
That's what Brad wants us to do. Lady, over there in third from the right. Go.
Yeah.
So, Allie, thank you for that. I guess, but we just can't use it outside of Congress?
Well, the proper use the is House as chamber? You're gaveled in and you are having conversation about our country and you say fancy things to one another. Apparently on this show, we'll only be able to say things like, hey, lady. It's okay.
But gentlemen for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you're keeping us straight. Mm-hmm. It's fine. So, but tomorrow you'll have to stay tuned for my husband's favorite word that Allison introduced us to. And you're going to love this word tomorrow. So, JP, I need a fun with words. I don't know what it's supposed to be, like Sesame Street, moo, or meow. You know how we used to do that? Did you even watch Sesame Street?
I did, yeah.
Or some kind of fun such. But I need a fun with words.
Sound effect.
It's just a good sound effect. Maybe music.
I hear like a ticker, like a...
Fun with words. We love them.
Here. Oh, I like this.
Let's go.
I do like this. Awesome. See, in heaven, I'll be able to dance.
Me too.
Not like that.
Okay, so thanks, JP. Queued up for tomorrow. So here we are.
It's also next. A dance break.
Next up, no one is surprised. Grant funding and NGOs. And again, we're back to the same kind of situation used for illegal purposes. Meanwhile, do you guys remember the absolute outrage of so many people when it was discovered that not only were we going to cut NGOs off, they do not serve the noble purposes for which they are proclaimed? Brad, that was for you.
It's just a money laundering scheme, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
And this is why Elon Musk got ousted out of Doge, right? Which is so sad. We had something so good. And then they just tore us apart.
This is a Billy Joel song. We didn't start the fire, but we'll burn it down. This is what we're about. We want to burn that down. It is. It's money laundering. And I listened to somebody today on Joe Rogan talk about, and I don't know the guy's name or I'd say it. And I hadn't thought about it this way before. But an NGO is a government organization, but it's one step below what's constitutional. So they can get away with doing unconstitutional things. And this man's point was like censorship. But there's billions of dollars in this NGO world that we, our leaders, are using it for many different reasons. But I thought, what a good point. They're using it to do their dirty work.
Yeah. Why do you think they fought USAID getting shut down so much?
Exactly.
Because that was their slush fund globally.
Mm-hmm.
And they could pursue whatever interests they wanted globally. And that like the things that they lose their mind the most about getting shut down, I think is a sign that they were onto something with it.
Yes.
Because I think USAID is a great, I mean, it's not technically an NGO, it was a part of the government, but it's along the same lines. It's a slush fund that they use, and they can just kind of, you know, oh, well, it's an NGO, it's USAID, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's anti-American and pursuing anti-American interests, and they, which is why they fought so much whenever it got terminated.
And all sides fought.
Yeah.
Everybody's fighting over this. Again, friends, the Uniparty.
These are the organizations that, right, they were like supplying condoms to foreign countries and the Sesame Street in Iraq and all the things.
All the things.
That are very, very necessary.
All the things!
Yes.
For global survival. But do you remember the story about the condoms? It was something that they were using them to make
bombs.
Drones? Bombs.
Yeah, there was allegations that Hamas was using them to make bombs.
Oh. I actually Googled that. I think it is a thing.
Yeah, I didn't know much about it. I just kind of saw the headlines. But yeah, and honestly, I think those were the punchline joke aspects of what USAID was funding. I think the actual stuff they were funding was a lot deeper, more sinister.
Wait, do you think that's not true?
Oh, no, I think it's true. Okay. But it's that's kind of like the, ugh, huh, can you really believe that? But, you know, it's kind of like a ha-ha, funny, can you believe what our government was paying for? But the deeper stuff, like pictures of USAID tents with, like, mm-hmm. Al-Qaeda terrorists in them, and how they were used globally to maybe help overthrow governments, mm-hmm. and how the CIA used it as its tool. That's more of the, like, the deeper, like, oof, that was really bad. But and I'm not saying all the little punchline jokes of, like, this much for Sesame Street in Mozambique or condoms, like, all that I'm sure was happening, but, you know, those are, like, the tagline, ha-ha.
It's also our tax dollars going to pay for condoms wherever in Sesame Street in Arabic.
Yeah, that. Oh, so I found on August, from August, libs of TikTok. And listen, I'm really getting annoyed saying the word Democrat. Please understand that we understand that there are Republicans too. Okay, so before you like make comments, we get it, it's everybody. But this was specifically dealing about this. Democrats gave $6 billion to over 200 NGOs to facilitate millions of illegals into our country. We know that, but just to see it written down from the summer, please be reminded of that. And who's losing their mind over ICE right now? Going in and arresting people who shouldn't be here at all, and yet we're having this deep discussion on what should we do? Get them out. Y'all brought them here, and now we have to get them to go. It's that simple. But it has been a masquerading as human rights organizations to hijack civil society. A guy named Glenn Deason said that. I think that's the perfect way to describe it.
But what's the point? Why $6 billion to bring illegals here? What ultimately is the point of that?
I think the most benign answer, and this is still a really bad answer, but I think the most logical and benign answer is that Democrats are funding these NGOs to bring in voters, import voters. Okay. And, you know, if you can flood certain areas with illegals, and they may never lose another election in that district. But then I think the more cynical and sinister reason we've talked about is great replacement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think it is clearly they've put them here to replace us. And any Republican that didn't fight hard against it is for it. I mean, that is the other conclusion we have to come to now, is if we don't see you fighting for us, then you're with them. It's that simple. But I do think it is a great replacement. I do think that the UN laid it out. I wrote an article about it a couple years ago. Years ago, like in the early 2000s, they said, this is what we're going to do. But you also notice the other hideous part of it. And the woman who gave the sermon to Trump when he was elected at that service talked about, I mean, it's really reprehensible. Who will wash our dishes? You're honestly telling us, they don't mean to, but it's a Freudian slip every time it comes out. This is all we think they're good for. Not only are we going to use them, hideously so, not only are we going to allow their children to cross into this country, 300,000 of them lost, given to human traffickers, sex traffickers. I mean, some of those stories will just make you want to throw up. So you've got that. Then they're telling us, we do not give a rip about these people we're using to replace you. Oh, and by the way, not only do we think that they should wash our dishes and paint our houses and redo our roofs, that's what we think they should do, is that they also are saying that our birth rate has fallen below replacement levels. And who are the people having all the babies? The anchor babies?
The third world that's coming in?
Please make it make sense, like we're five, that this isn't a great replacement theory. But these kinds of people in those leadership positions can't help themselves. And we are not each other's enemy. They are the enemy of everything that we hold good, true, and dear. They are. And we do not despise them like enough. And we're also not engaged enough to go, okay, so which one of us is going to run for their seat? Which one of us is going to go get on city council? Which one of us is going to become the mayor? Who's going to get on the school board? That's how we take this back. But it is awful that they tell us every time it comes to NGOs and immigration and what they're doing with our money, they hate us and they hate the people they've brought in as well.
I'd be interested to see if the same NGOs that were funding the illegal immigration are the same ones that are funding these Antifa anti-ICE protests and giving them mm-hmm. office buildings to go and chill out in between, you know, protests. I think that'd be a direct connection.
Look in Portland.
Yeah,
exactly. I think they just found that.
Their border got shut down. They lost their slush fund. They lost their way of, you know, making money, and now they're going to fund these Antifa protests. I mean, they have storage facilities, Antifa has. Like, who is funding this? I guarantee you it's the same NGOs funding the border and the illegal immigration crisis.
So the goal is to make New York City, what just happened, expanded across America. As you were talking, what is it that the steps to communism that's entered into the congressional record, what is that?
Oh, the 45 goals of communism
that they outlined mm-hmm. and what they were going to do. It might be a good time to step through that.
Let me grab that from a book.
Oh, you have it up there?
Oh, I brought the book because that book changed my life.
Okay. It might be a good time to remind people that this takeover started years ago, way before we were even
Amen.
Aware. And it's just now coming to fruition. I think we still have time. I don't know if anybody has the gumption to do much about it, though. We'll see. Although in Charlotte, no, Dearborn.
Yeah, exactly.
Dearborn gives me hope.
There's hope. We still all got to get on board.
Let's get the book off the shelf.
Okay.
Dust it off.
Okay.
We'll go through it. We'll be right back.